Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Let's Cover It, brought to you by The Covering Church.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, and those of you who are watching who are still questioning various things, we want to say thank you for making a special effort to tune into this particular episode and called Let's Cover It. Grateful for your wife that gave us that title.
Yeah.
And we do
May's awesome.
She we really do have is. A little bling here to show that.
That's thanks to our production crew.
That's true.
They put all that together. And
yeah.
By the way, I think maybe we should make some offers. I'm maybe speaking for our production crew that we should make some offers.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want a Let's Cover It cup, write us and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
Can't guarantee we can get you one, but we'll do our best.
We'll try. So, but the bottom line is, as we come, we have done our best to try to hit topics that would speak to you as they have spoken to us.
Yes.
And honestly, they're still speaking to us and we're still learning. We're still growing. We've not arrived yet. The Apostle Paul said that I haven't arrived, you know, and that's okay, but we're continuing to learn and we simply just want to share those things with you as we come across them. And as you certainly can tell by now, there are a ton of various topics that we could talk about. But as we have started a brand new series here, we wanted to talk about really who God is, how does he exist, and why does he do the things that he does? Okay, because we've had a lot of people who recently who have pointed their fingers at God and that's nothing new. I mean, there have been several people over centuries who've pointed their finger at God, have elevated themselves to thinking that they're God. And like I said to one of our production people, but at the end of the day, you're either going to say that you're God or God is God.
That's correct.
And so what we want to do is we want to continue this conversation and maybe answer some of the questions that you may have, because you may be going through a difficult time or you've gone through a difficult time and you've done your best to try to come up with answers, but you can't. And you may or may not have necessarily come up with scripture or found someone who's been able to help you in that. So, but Chris, I want you, if you wouldn't mind, let's simply start and refresh our memory on who God is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
On who God is, as opposed to who we think he is or who that we might think that he is. And then secondly, we'll go from there to, you know, how God answers those things when we actually put him in his rightful place.
Yes.
Is that okay?
That sounds good.
Okay, let's do that. So with that being said, just who is God?
I guess ultimately God is the eternal, unchangeable, absolutely righteous creator, sustainer, upholder of the entire universe, who on a personal level is the Heavenly Father,
mm-hmm.
who came down in the form of the flesh in the triune aspect of God, Jesus Christ, in order to die, in order to redeem fallen man, so that we could have an eternal life with him through Jesus Christ, through faith in him.
Right.
So I think ultimately that's, in a nutshell, who God is.
That's who God is.
Yeah.
That's who God is. And so in his righteousness, in his perfectness, he is the one who has designed what we live in today.
Yes.
Okay? And like you said in the last podcast, you know, we talked about evil and sin and all of that. It wasn't God who created sin.
No.
It was man, Adam and Eve, who had the choice.
Yes.
God gave them the choice to choose to either worship God in perfection or the choice to say, you know what? Humanly speaking, I got a better plan.
Right.
And so they chose, they thought they had a better plan.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, death, sin, physically and spiritually, as you said, came upon all men.
Yes.
And so as a result of that, how, I want to make sure that I say this right. I don't know that I want to say how does God work within that, but how does God work in that?
I think God actually works above that.
Okay.
I think you can picture it. I know you've seen the movie Saving Private Ryan.
Right.
And the movie revolves around, at the beginning of the movie, it revolves around Tom Hanks coming in on Omaha Beach on June 6, 1944, the invasion of Normandy.
Right.
And it's this camera angle following him as he comes up the beach. And as he's coming up that beach, it is an horrendous scene.
It is.
And at one point, he's dragging this guy up on the beach who's missing the lower half mm-hmm. of the guy. And if you think about it from his perspective, he sees this maybe 180-degree view, few hundred yards. That's all he sees That's of the invasion see. Of Normandy, right?
That is correct.
That's it.
Right.
So if he were to stand there and look around at that invasion of Normandy, he would say, who in the world thinks this is the right thing to do with all this death, mm-hmm. destruction, and everything all around me?
Right.
Right?
Right.
But he's not sitting out in the headquarters in England with General Eisenhower and his staff who have planned for years this largest invasion in history, amphibious invasion in history, that ultimately led to the victory in the West in World War II.
Correct.
The liberation of France, ultimately the march into Germany, you know, the linking up with the Russians on the Elbe River. All of this that took place started with this map where he, as a general, knew every division, every brigade, virtually every tank, where they were going to come in, what was going to happen, what their plan was. Mm-hmm. All of this playing out from a general's perspective who has, as you like to say, a 100-mile view of the, you know, of the scale
sure. right.
of this war.
Right.
This battle plan.
And not just one little
piece. This strategic plan, and not just this 150-yard view of 180 degrees, 150 yards out. Mm-hmm. That's all that Tom Hanks could see as he was running across that beach.
Correct.
And so that's how humankind is with God. We're running in a world where we see 180 degrees, maybe 150 yards out.
Right.
But you've got God, who have seen all this play out from eternity past, before he ever even called the earth into existence,
right.
in the book of Genesis,
right.
before he ever said, let there be light.
That's right.
This is already planned out. And Molina, you know, deals with these what ifs. Mm-hmm. In his doctrine, he talks about these what ifs, that all of these what ifs God could play out, but God could only really choose one to fulfill out of the millions that he could have chosen.
Sure.
He chose just the one that he knew would play out to fulfill Right. his plan.
Right.
And Molina therefore ties election, God choosing this particular world, this particular plan, along with free will.
Right.
The human beings have the free will to choose righteousness mm-hmm. or to choose sin. That's our choice.
Right.
And because of our fallen nature, which one of those two will we invariably choose?
The unrighteousness.
The unrighteousness, sin. The sin.
That's right.
And yet God allows that ultimately because God can see the 1,000-mile view. And we can only see the 150-yard view.
Correct.
And so we're trying to fit an infinite God into our 150 yards. And when we see what happens in our 150 yards, and somehow God doesn't come through in our 150 yards, somehow we think he's not God anymore.
Right, right. So with that being said, and trying to get a better perspective of who God is and how he works, so an individual who is struggling.
Yes.
An individual who just... whether they've lost a loved one or there's someone who is terminally ill or something of that nature, and they blame God.
Yes.
Point the frame, blame God, and it just doesn't make sense. How does that individual get through that?
Well, that's a very personal question for me.
Okay. Do you mind sharing?
I think I can. I've kind of avoided doing this in our podcast. It's very personal.
Okay.
But on September 23rd, 2013, my wife, Donna, she had been struggling with a lack of energy, not eating very well, sleeping a lot, and she had developed this pain that went around her side into her back. And so it was on that Sunday, Sunday night, we'd gotten home from church and we were babysitting. At the time we had two grandkids, we were babysitting them. And I called my daughter and I said, "Hey, can you come get the kids? I'm going to take your mom into the hospital. I need to find out where this pain is coming from, why she's feeling so bad. We're just going to try to get a handle on what's going on." And so I took her in, and they ran battery after battery of tests for hours. We were in the hospital. And finally, early that Monday morning, the doctor walked in, and he said to me, "Mr. Dumford, I would suggest," these are his words, "I would suggest you get your affairs in order. Your wife has stage 4 pancreatic cancer."
Mm.
Now, I had no idea what that would entail. I went home, and they said, "You need to call a local cancer treatment center, one of the best in the country." And I called them called them early that morning, and they answered. And they got us an appointment in that afternoon.
Wow.
And I took her to see this oncologist who was one of the best oncologists. And my family doctor said, he's probably the best in the country for treating pancreatic cancer. And we sat down in his office. And it's hard.
I know. Take your time.
And he said, "Look, this is incurable. I can give you a year." And I got to tell you, I went home and I started researching pancreatic cancer, and there's no cure.
Right.
I mean, like, everybody that gets it dies.
Right.
And I was upset with God.
Mm-hmm. And you're a believer.
And I'm a strong believer. I pastored a church for 16 years.
Right.
I had a degree in theology. I've been to three seminaries, and I was mad. And I said, "God, how can you do this to someone who has sang in a trio, worshiped you all of her life? And there's a lot of evil people out there walking around today without pancreatic cancer, and she has it."
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think for a minute that when we talk about this, that we haven't walked this road.
Right.
I have.
Sure.
And we went for 11 months of every treatment known to man.
Right.
Chemotherapy that was really tough on her.
Sure.
She had to wear a pump, and I had to de-access her pump, and I had to give her 2 liters of fluid the day after her chemo, and they taught me how to do all of that, and I knew how to access, de-access her port, and how to give her all this stuff that she needed during the few weeks, Neupogen shots and all this stuff she needed to keep her white blood cell counts up.
Mm-hmm.
And we live by cancer markers.
Yeah.
We live by them for like months. Cancer markers are up, they're down. We'd go in for an MRI and they would find cancer growing on her liver. Well, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to use TheraSpheres. It's a new treatment. Radioactive spheres were injected into her bloodstream. They'll go into the liver, they'll embed against those tumors and they'll kill the tumors. And we were all excited. And man, the first week or two after that treatment, the cancers were shrinking and we were all in on this. You know, yeah, God's going to bless, God's going to heal.
Right.
I started a Facebook page and was keeping everybody informed.
Sure.
People all over the world started praying for us.
Yeah.
My office made up bracelets that said Team Donna on them and started selling them to raise money to pay for our chemo treatments.
Sure.
They raised thousands of dollars to help us.
Yeah.
And this bracelets, they started taking pictures. People bought them. We're starting to take pictures of where they would leave these bracelets. Did you know that there's a bracelet on Kilimanjaro?
Wow.
With her name on it? There were bracelets out in the ocean. I had a diver come up in the Bahamas, and as he came out of the water, he sent me a video carrying a Team Donna bracelet. This is what was going on. God's people got around it.
Sure.
And they were praying the whole time, but I was mad.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I was mad.
Yeah. And so You were praying for a miracle?
Yes.
You know?
Wanting one desperately.
Yeah. And yet, you were mad. And so ultimately?
I took her in sometime around the first week in September. I mean, first week of August, last week of July 2014. I took her in to the hospital. In the process of accessing and deaccessing her port, she had developed peritonitis, an infection in her midriff. The cancer had actually eaten through her visceral wall, and I would give her fluids and she would blow up like a balloon, like instantly,
right,
like she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then I would have to take her to the hospital and you'd have to pump all the fluids out. And then I would give her fluids and she would blow up again and she'd have trouble breathing, and I'd have to take her in and they would pump all the fluids off. And in the process of doing all that pumping out the fluids, when they put those tubes in her to do it, she got an infection in her midriff. And so I took her to the hospital. Man, it's hard. And they gave her some antibiotics to clear it up. And it destroyed her kidneys. The chemo had been so hard on her, and she'd already was emaciated. They actually listed her as emaciated. She hadn't been eating.
Wow.
And she was really sick. And gosh, it's been 10 years. I still can't really talk about it. And he sits down on the bed and he says, I think it's time we call in hospice. And I went home from the hospital that night and I went out for a run and I'm running down behind my house. And I'm yelling at God as much as I can while I'm trying to breathe while running 4 or 5 miles, you know, and I'm mad.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to my heart while I was running. I didn't hear an audible voice. You know, I'm not crazy.
Right.
But God spoke to my heart.
And it stopped you in your tracks.
Stopped me in the middle of the run. And I yelled out. And I think my neighbors probably thought I was crazy down there on the street. And I said, God, how is this fair? How can you take the life of someone who has served you her entire life, mm-hmm, while you let all these baby murderers and people that have done this kind of stuff go free? How can she die and them not?
Mm-hmm. How did God?
And I said, God, I love her. How can you take her from me?
Yeah.
And God spoke to my heart and he said, Chris, let me share something with you before you judge me too harshly. Number one, I loved her before you did. And I love her more than you do. And so early on Sunday morning at 5:30 in the morning on August 17th, 5:30 in the morning, I laid in bed beside her and I held her hand and she took her last breath and she went home to be with the Lord. Mm. And you know, I called a friend of mine who was a funeral parlor director, and he came and got her, and I walked her out to the hearse, mm-hmm, so he could take her to the funeral home and he could prepare her for the funeral.
Sure.
I had all the arrangements already made. They were all paid for. And I went in and I got a shower and I got dressed and I got a suit on and I got my Bible and I went to church. I walked in the door and I sat down in the pew, and people all over the church came up to me and said, well, what are you doing here? I heard your wife died this morning. I said, yeah, she did. I said, but today I'm going to worship with her, because I've worshiped with her the entire time we've been married. But today she's a little closer to the Lord than I am.
Yep.
And my wife that I'm married to now knows this, but I stop once in a while and I take care of her grave. I weed it and clean up the gravestone.
Sure.
But you know, under that gravestone is a body, mm-hmm, 6 feet under the ground in a concrete vault.
Right.
But my wife isn't there.
Nope.
That's a shell.
It is.
She is walking in glory today, seeing scenes that I can only imagine.
That's right.
She's walking with my mom and dad are both in heaven. With your parents, right?
Right. Right.
I remember when your dad died of cancer.
Yep.
And I went to the funeral, and it was tough, you know?
Sure.
To see you like that, losing your dad. But you knew.
I knew.
You knew where he was.
I did.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so in our 150-yard view, I was mad.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 30,000-mile view, I'm at peace. Because I know that ultimately, somehow, this is in God's plan.
It's in God's plan.
And I can't see the whole battlefield.
Nope.
I can't see the entire, apart from the battle plan that he's left me in his word, but beyond that, from the eternal view of God, I can't see that entire plan. But because I know he's God, I trust him that the plan is the right plan.
And I leave it there.
And I leave it there, yes.
I leave it there because I can't.
Absolutely.
And I trust in that.
Yes.
I depend on that.
Correct.
I lean on that, all of that, and because God is God and I'm not.
Right. And I don't always like it.
No.
I don't always like the result in my worldview.
Because in the immediate, sure, I have pain. I have suffering. I have loss. I cry.
Yes.
But I'm also reminded that there is a time for that.
Yes.
A time to laugh.
Mm-hmm. And a time to cry. Yes.
Time to cry.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing that, it is still in God's plan.
Yeah.
And in that, I trust.
The Wednesday before she died, I was giving her morphine injections, and they trained me how to do that. And if you've ever had to do that, you have to keep a logbook of every cc of morphine you use, and you have to account for all of it by law.
Sure.
And I had a logbook, and I was keeping it in. And she had finally gone to sleep, and I failed to give her her morphine. And she woke up in the middle of the night screaming my name, and when I ran in, she grabbed me by the front of the shirt. Begging me to help her.
Yeah.
Screaming, help me. I had to give her 5 injections to bring her down.
Yeah.
You look at that, you know, and you say, how can this be in God's plan?
Wow.
But let me tell you another story where you can see the other side of it.
Okay.
My mom lost a baby. Right after I was born, my mom had gotten pregnant again, and it was a few months after that she lost the baby. She always told me, "Chris, you have a brother in heaven. I've never met him, but I know he's there."
Yeah.
I got a younger brother I can't wait to see. Mm-hmm. But I got another brother. You know my other brother, Bill, right?
I do. Yeah.
Well, my brother Bill is adopted.
Okay.
Now let me show you the other way God works things out. So that you think that God's not always that way in his plan.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, they had gotten my brother from a, and by the way, my brother loves the Lord, man. He's like being around Jesus when you get around it, right? But he listens to our podcast and hears me say this. I'm going to get a phone call from him. But anyway, my brother, he was adopted, and for whatever reason, apparently he had been abused very badly, we think, by men in the orphanage because he was petrified of males.
Mm.
And so when my mom got him from the orphanage, every time my dad would get around him, he would cling onto my mom and scream, didn't want anything to do with him.
Right.
So my dad finally had enough, and he said, "Judy, I want you to take him tomorrow. I want you to take him back to the orphanage. I've had enough. We're not doing this anymore." So he said to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom got up that morning and was going to get dressed and take Bill to the orphanage. Well, that was the day Kennedy got shot.
Hmm.
And when Kennedy got shot, they shut down all the government facilities.
Right.
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 Well, one of the things they shut down was the orphanage.
Orphanage.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That night when my dad walked in the door, my brother ran to my dad and jumped in his arms.
Really?
I got a brother. I don't want to sound selfish, but I have a brother today because Kennedy died.
Wow.
That's an illustration of how one tragedy can happen to bring about something else.
Reconciliation.
Reconciliation in another way, because we don't see that plan.
That's right.
Nobody in Dallas knew that the death of Kennedy would result in me getting a brother.
Right.
You get it? They just don't.
No, not at all.
And they can't see it.
No.
And they couldn't see it.
No.
I can, knowing that out of that tragedy of our president being assassinated, I got a brother who's still my brother today.
That's right.
And I love him, you know. I actually saw him yesterday.
Yeah.
And so I think that we forget in our grief, in our anger, in our self-righteous judgment of God, that we don't have the full picture.
We don't
have it all. Yeah. We got this, and that's God's right. Got this. So if we forget that, we can get in, we can drill into the Bible and say, hey, looking at my 150-yard view, that doesn't look right.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
And start blaming God and all the other things that we do.
Yes.
And we can't afford to do that. Right?
Correct.
We can't afford to do that.
We can't, because it makes us God.
That's right. That's right. Can we be upset?
I think God's got big shoulders.
I think so too.
You know, when you look at Job and his ongoing, you know, argument with God, Habakkuk and his anger with God.
Sure.
First of all, God's God. You can be angry with God all you want.
That's right.
It isn't going to shake God up at all.
No.
God's not going to go to bed at night. First of all, God didn't sleep, but he's not going to go to bed at night going, man, I sure hope Chris is better in the morning. I hope he's not mad at me anymore.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
God's like,
go ahead. You can be mad all you want. All you can see is this. You can't see this. And if you could see this, you wouldn't be mad about this. Does that mean that I can see all the good that came out of the death of my wife? I mean, it's been hard on my daughter. It's been hard on, you know, my oldest grandson. It's been hard on my ex-mother-in-law, my former mother-in-law, you know, it's hard on her.
Sure. It's
been hard on her family to try, even in 10 years, to try to digest that.
Sure.
But I know that somewhere in that, there's good.
There is.
There always is.
There is.
I remember reading about Corrie ten Boom.
Yeah.
When she was in a concentration camp.
Yeah.
And her sister came to her, and she said to Corrie, how can God be in this? We're covered in lice. How is this of God? And do you know what Corrie said to her sister?
What's that?
It's the lice that keeps the German soldiers from raping us. Hmm. That was somebody who had a 30,000-mile view and not a 150-yard view.
All I can say, Chris, is thank you. Thank you for sharing your heart. I know it was difficult, but I got to believe that in that little view that we have, that it's helped somebody today.
I think if they want to get some additional help, honestly, you preached on this last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Finest message I've ever heard on the subject, not just because you're my best friend. And you know, you and I critique each other's message.
Oh, yeah.
I will tell you, that was the best message I ever heard.
Well, I appreciate that.
And one of the reasons I know that it was one of the best messages I've ever heard, because you lived that for me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend of mine, his name is Dean, and the Monday when I came home from the hospital, Dean ran over with his wife, Connie.
Mm-hmm.
Connie sat with my wife while Dean just walked up and down the road with me and just let me talk.
Yep.
But I remember I was struggling at work one day, and you showed up at my office,
mm-hmm.
and you said, let's go across the street to a little cafe.
Yep.
We sat down, and all you did was listen.
Yep.
And I told you at one point, if I hear Romans 8:28 one more time, I'm going to punch somebody in the mouth. I know Romans 8:28 inside and out. I don't need to hear Romans 8:28.
Yep.
Now, I'm not demeaning the Bible, but I'm saying I heard it 1,000 times.
Oh, I know.
But what I really needed was somebody to sit.
Just to sit and listen.
And let me vent my heart.
Yeah.
And you're one of my best friends in the world, man. We've been all over the country together.
We have.
And I want to say publicly and personally, thank you for that.
All I can say is I'm grateful that God gave me that opportunity.
Yeah. And as I am too.
Yes. So I am very grateful and thank you. So with that being said,
now that we've sung each other's praise.
but with that being said, I certainly hope that that's helped you some given you a little bit different perspective on really who God is.
Yes.
And as opposed to what preconceived concept you may have had, that he really is God.
Yes.
And that he really loves us.
He does.
And that in the midst of it all, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, is that God is there.
And he's still God.
And he's still God.
And he's always going to be God.
And it's right.
Whether you believe it or not, whether you judge him or not, he's not going to change God.
No, no, not at all. And so we want to say thank you once again for tuning into this particular episode of Let's Cover It. Pray God bless you, encourage you, and strengthen you in all that you do. God bless.
Thanks again for joining us. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Let's Cover It podcast, brought to you by The Covering Church.